You know, I love Sunday baseball. It's just something about it. Sit back and it feels good, and it's what the comfort of baseball is for everybody, and I feel it today. And I'll tell you why in a minute, but let's get Bruce Jenkins on. It's Bruce, as we look through the window of baseball for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and Terry Ziemer's here from Marvin Windows and Doors today, and her family. And Bruce from the Chronicle, of course. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Good, Marty. How you doing today?
Well, good. And the reason I feel better, I looked at the Angel lineup. And we've got Cole Calhoun, Mike Trout, Pujols, David Freese, Ibar, C.J. Crone, Iannetta, Calgill, and Josh Rutledge. I'm ready for a game.
That's looking pretty familiar. That's more like it.
Yeah. I mean, and Bumgarner's pitching against them.
Yeah, Bumgarner, Trout, that's the pinnacle right there.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. And, you know, Bumgarner should go about five today. You know, at some point, the competitive juices kind of get out, and you want to have one of those games. And I got a feeling today it's for him.
Yeah, I think it's about time for him to, you know, start rounding into form. I mean, not that he's late. You know, it's just that's how the spring goes. He's one of those guys who is on his own pace and doing his thing, and it's not going to remind you of the World Series, you know, not yet. But as it goes on, what he wants to do is be sharp by the end of March, and we're getting there now. And so, yeah, I would expect him to look, you know, pretty familiar today.
Yeah, and I'd expect him to go 4 or 5 today, to tell you the truth. He only went 2 against Arizona. Then they pulled him out, and he went down to the bullpen for a couple. But, I mean, they do play the Angels this year. So I think from a pitcher standpoint, he'd like to see these guys and see how he deals with them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when Trout comes up there. He's made a point of being a – he's a great, great hitter, but of being more aggressive on the first pitch. He had a habit of taking, and he's ditched that. He's going after the first pitch now, so it'll be interesting to see if he if Bumgarner starts him with a fastball, what he does with it.
All right, I like it. And then tomorrow, and I know you'll probably get to hear it with Doug Greenwald on the Internet, sfgiants.com, Kansas City comes in tomorrow. I can't wait to see this thing because they're bringing the major pitching staff of Volquez is coming over tomorrow, Frazier, Hochaver, Ryan Madsen. You know, Bruce, I tell you, this Sunday thing, all of a sudden I'm starting to see a little bit of, you know, the form coming together on the season. It's not that far away.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Kansas City, you know, Volquez is the guy they hope replaces James Shields, and their pitching, you know, if that happens, it's still going to be pretty much intact. They've got all those bullpen guys. They're just phenomenal. They're also taking a chance on some guys who had Tommy John surgery. Hochaver's one of them, Medlin, and just one other guy whose name escapes me. But their pitching is going to be great, their bottom line. And they're going to be right in it because, you know, we've seen how good they can be. And pitching means so much to both of the Giants and the Royals.
And they run. And, you know,
yeah,
they run.
Sure do, yeah.
Yeah, come on. And now, the Giants have not announced a pitcher for tomorrow. Alex will be up here with us in a little while. Maybe he knows. But it's TBA for tomorrow. And I don't imagine they'd put Kane in there tomorrow. I'm not sure what they're figuring on doing. But, you know, it's another good game. It's another decent game. Then there's a Dodger game at the end of the week, which is fun.
Yeah, I tell you, Marty, I'm sitting here on a Sunday, and I've got 8 basketball games to watch, but I trade it. I trade it to get down in Arizona and watch a ball game in the Sunday sun of Arizona.
Aoki looked a little better yesterday, Bruce. He looked like he handled the pitching yesterday of Jared Weaver. He had a couple of good hits off him. But he looked like he was, you know, he wasn't overwhelmed, and he knew what he was doing yesterday. And I think it's all timing because this is a 285 hitter. I like what I saw yesterday from him.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy coming from Japan. Of course, he's been around a long time, but you know, he cherishes familiarity, and anything that gets him into a routine, he's going to feel good because he's certainly not a man apart in the clubhouse. But in a way, he's on a different sort of wavelength than everybody else. And you know, the routine is very important to him. And I think as he starts to gain that familiarity with, you know, with the team, with the coaching staff, and now a little bit of the league, you know, you'll see him. You'll see the results on the field. He's a smart hitter. He's not going to hit for power. He uses the whole field like really all the Giants do, which is going to really help them.
I saw his hit yesterday. I'll tell you honestly, Weaver, first pitch of the game, bango, right up the middle, just a line drive shot.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I saw that. Hey, Hector, just to touch on a couple of things from yesterday. Hector Sanchez, I thought, had an excellent game yesterday. What's his, what do you think of him? What's his ceiling? Do we actually know who he is yet?
Well, I mean, last year was such a setback in terms of, you know, the concussion issue, and it was really in question whether he'd ever catch again. And if he decided not to or was advised not to, you'd certainly wouldn't be surprised. So, no, you really don't. I mean, it does seem like he has a slight edge over Susak right now because Susak's had the wrist injury and isn't getting the playing time that he wanted. And there's a pretty good chance, I don't know, right now that Sanchez will make the club. But, you know, he can hit, especially, you know, right-hand hitters. He's a guy you want up there. But in terms of the catching, it seems a little fragile in light of what happened to him, and we'll just have to see how that goes.
Yeah, he went out and talked to Lindstrom yesterday and calmed him down. Lindstrom didn't have a great first inning, and, you know, his arm was behind the body and all this stuff, and he went out and put his arm on him and calmed him down and sort of straightened him out after that. He threw somebody out from his knees, as usual, yesterday. He's a character. He's a different kind of player, but he swings a bat. He swings a bat. And I'm not sure who he really is yet. I really mean that. I don't know. Susak will play today, he told me this morning.
Oh, that's good.
He's on the list, and it's his birthday today. He's 25 today.
Hmm.
So,
Hector, you know, he does know the pitchers. He's been with the organization quite a while, and he's gotten a lot more familiar with them. He's a lot more comfortable working with them. And he's, you know, the point where he can go out there and dispense some advice, and they're not going to look at him like, who the hell are you? I mean, you know, he's put in some time.
Really. Old Bob Gibson, you know, he'd come out to the mound and he'd say, the only thing you know about pitching is you can't hit it.
Especially mine. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I remember you tell McCarver that. What are you doing out here? Get out of here. Nobody would come to the mound with Gibson on the hill.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point? What are you going to tell me here? You going to tell me I'm doing something wrong out here?
I love that. Hey, I love the Sunday. Your Saturday column is the best, and Sunday I never miss Nick Cafardo.
Oh, yeah.
Of the Boston Globe, and he had a good one today. You know, with all the injuries and all the things going on, why not make the roster 28 and designate 25 per game who can play? You'd have an extra bullpen guy. You may have an extra bench guy. You don't need three starting pitchers who are not going to start that day other than the one guy you have. So it would give more flexibility to the managers and also maybe prevent injuries because you wouldn't be pushing a guy. You'd have a little bit more flexibility on who to use. What do you think of that?
Well, I'm delighted. I mean, I've mentioned that on your show. I think I mentioned it yesterday, in fact. I've written about it several times. 28.
Yeah.
Let's bring back Manny Mota, Lenny Harris. Let's bring back the stolen base specialist. Let's have a bench with a lot of versatility. You need a big hit up the middle. Maybe you need a home run. Matt Stairs kind of guy, you know, or a guy who steal your base. You have all these options instead of sort of these multi-purpose guys who do a little bit of everything well, but you know, don't really maybe excel at anything. I would absolutely love to see that. I think the way he laid it out is great, but deeper benches, I think, are much needed and would really improve the game and the fans' interest, especially as they look ahead to a close game in the late innings and you start running out of players. But you really aren't running out of players anymore because you got three more than you had before.
Yeah. Well, you know, in baseball, when I grew up, Bruce, you could have 28 until May 15th.
Yeah,
and then you had to send three down, and then you had to go with your 25. But it gave you an extra month to figure out who you wanted to have. And, you know, I'd be for anything that gives you more potential moves on the bench, just like you said. So I agree with that. And
yeah, look, I'd actually, you know, like as I said, 28 period, not 25. Just raise it to 28.
Yeah. Look, I'm telling you, Bruce, Rob Manfred comes up with something every day, and he's got Tony Clark in the Players Association, who's a former player who's as aggressive as he is. So who knows? Something could happen.
Yeah, I think there will be some changes, and I don't think it'll be as radical as the pitch clock or anything that really disrupts, you know, the tradition of the game. Little fine tunings here and there. I do like the way Manfred is approaching things. He seems to have a really open mind, and some of these things will happen, if I think, for the game's benefit.
Yeah. Hey, Bruce Jenkins with us. Bruce, in our next segment, Steve Kettman is going to join us.
Oh, yeah.
And he just
well.
the book. Yeah, baseball maverick. And, of course, it's how Sandy Alderson revolutionized baseball and revived the Mets. Former beat writer, covered the A's here in the Bay Area. You've looked at the book. You like it. I've read it, too. I think it's terrific.
It really is. Steve did a great job. He knows Sandy really well. From covering the A's, and, you know, they butted heads a few times, but there's a lot of respect between the two of them. And, Steve was able to talk to Sandy, you know, extensively about, you know, the military days in Vietnam and just everything, you know. And I think Sandy really opened up to him in a lot of ways. So what a fascinating guy he is.
Amazing.
I knew Sandy Alderson was a man to be reckoned with in the 1982 World Series, the day of Game 7. Overnight, they fired Billy Martin, and Sandy Alderson actually came to the beat writers' rooms late that night to tell us what was coming. It was too late for deadline. It was like midnight, you know. And Sandy, we barely knew who Sandy was. He wasn't the general manager. He was the team's counsel.
That's
but
right.
He was the hammer. He was the guy who brought down the hammer. And then next thing you know, he's running the team, and a fascinating guy. And I also remember playing a softball game against the A's front office and Sandy hitting a crisp single to left right at me. Okay. The guy can play a little bit, too. So, interesting guy. I'm glad you said that. I'll listen to Steve's interview.
Yeah, he's got a lot about the Zach Wheeler trade going over to the Mets. But the military part, was just off the charts. I know he was a Dartmouth College student, a journalism student, and he volunteered to go to Vietnam and ended up in the combat zone.
Amazing man.
Yeah, really. Okay.
He came back with a very clear head. He wasn't, you know, lost in thought for days at a time, or God knows, you know, some guys come back and they're never the same. So,
he was he was the symbol. He was the picture of the Marine recruiting poster.
There he is, just rigid as all hell.
How about that? Funny. And he's, you know, he made a mark in the Bay Area. So Steve's coming up next. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much. You have a good day today.
Thank you, Marty. You too.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. As we segue into Steve Kettman next coming up, he wrote the book Baseball Maverick, and it's about Sandy Alderson, who's former general manager of the A's. But what an interesting book, how Sandy Alderson revolutionized baseball and revived the Mets. Steve Kettman wrote it. We'll take a break, and while we're doing the break, if you look it up online, maybe you get a little more information on it. But Steve will tell us about the book and more when we come back.